堂听 class.com。
Let's get crazy！
李阳疯狂英语
，Leon Crazy English。
Are you ready？ 准备好了吗？亲爱的高中朋友们，欢迎大家来到五分钟突破英语高中阅读理解。
Welcome to Conquer Senior High School English Reading Comprehension in 5 minutes.
This is your friend Leon.
And this is your old friend Jim.
Hi, this is Stephanie from the USA, and I'd like to wish you lots of luck today.
Let's get started.
将阅读理解也要脱口而出，这就是疯狂英语的信心，这就是疯狂英语的实力。有这样的实力，选择题算什么？阅读题算什么？我们一起来疯狂攻击吧。第一课。
Pet owners are being encouraged to take their animals to work. A move scientists say can be good for productivity, workplace morale, and the well-being of animals. A study found that 25% of Australian women would like to keep an office pet. Sue Chaseling of Pet Care Information Service said the practice of keeping office pets was good both for the people and the pets. On the pets' side, they are not left on their own.And won't feel lonely and unhappy, she said. A study of major U.S. companies showed that 73% found office pets beneficial, while 27% experienced a drop in absenteeism. Zarni Riggs has 2 cats walking around her global hair salon in Paddington. My customers love them. They are their favorites, she said. They are not troublesome. They know when to go and have a sleep in the sun.Little Black BJ has spent nearly all his 2 years working at Punch Gallery in Balmain. Owner Ian Powell said he had had cats at the gallery for 15 years. BJ often lies in the shop window and people walking past tap on the glass, he said. Ms. Chaseling said cats were popular in service industries because they enabled a point of conversation. But she said owners had to make sure both her co-workers and the cats were comfortable.Pet owners are being encouraged to take their animals to work, a move scientists say can be good for productivity, workplace morale, and the well-being of animals. A study found that 25% of Australian women would like to keep an office pet. Sue Chaseling of Pet Care Information Service said the practice of keeping office pets was good for both the people and the pets. On the pet side, they are not left on their own and won't feel lonely and unhappy, she said. A study of major U.S. companies showed that 73% found office pets beneficial, while 27% experienced a drop in absenteeism. Zarni Riggs has 2 cats walking around her global hair salon in Paddington.My customers love them. They are their favorites, she said. They are not troublesome. They know when to go and have a sleep in the sun. Little Black BJ spent nearly all his 2 years working at Punch Gallery in Balmain. Owner Ian Powell said he had had cats at the gallery for 15 years. BJ often lives in the shop window and people walking past tap on the glass, he said. Ms. Chaseling said cats were popular in service industries because they enabled a point of conversation. But she said owners had to make sure both our co-workers and the cats were comfortable.
Lesson 2.
As any homemaker who has tried to keep order at the dinner table knows...There is far more to a family meal than food. Sociologist Michael Lewis has been studying 50 families to find out just how much more. Lewis and his co-workers carried out their study by videotaping the families while they ate ordinary meals in their own homes. They found that parents with small families talk actively with each other and their children. But as the number of children gets larger, conversation gives way to the parents' efforts to control the loud noise they make.That can have an important effect on the children. In general, the more question asking the parents do, the higher the children's IQ scores, Lewis says, and the more children there are, the less question asking there is. The study also provides an explanation for why middle children often seem to have a harder time in life than their siblings. Lewis found that in families with 3 or 4 children, dinner conversation is likely to center on the oldest child, who has the most to talk about, and the youngest,who needs the most attention. Middle children are invisible, says Lewis. When you see someone get up from the table and walk around during dinner, chances are it's the middle child. There is, however, one thing that stops all conversation and prevents anyone from having attention. When the TV is on, Lewis says, dinner is a non-event. Lesson 3.
Language as a system of symbols. Of all systems of symbols, language is the most highly developed.
It has been pointed out that human beings, by agreement, can make anything stand for anything. Human beings have agreed, in the course of centuries of mutual dependency, to let the various noises that they can produce with their lungs, throats, tongues, teeth, and lips systematically stand for certain happenings in their nervous systems. We call that system of agreements language. There is no necessary connection between the symbol and that which it stands for. Just as social positions can be symbolized by feathers worn on the head, by gold on the watch chain, or by 1,000 other things according to the culture we live in, so the fact of being hungry can be symbolized by 1,000 different noises according to the culture we live in. However obvious these facts may appear at first glance, they are actually not so obvious as they seem, except when we take special pains to think about the subject. Symbols and the things they stand for are independent of each other. Yet we all have a way of feeling as if, and sometime acting as if, there were necessary connections. For example, there are people who feel that foreign languages are unreasonable by nature. Foreigners have such funny names for things, and why can't they call things by their right names? This feeling exhibits itself most strongly in those English and American tourists who seem to believe that they can make the natives of any country understand English if they shout loud enough. Like the little boy who is reported to have said, "Pigs are called pigs because they are such dirty animals." They feel that the symbol is inherently connected in some way with the thing symbolized. Lesson 4.
Paula Radcliffe, chasing a third London Marathon title, says she has become a stronger person after her terrible experience at the 2004 Athens Games. Radcliffe, who failed to complete the Olympic marathon and the 10,000 meters last August, said, "Athens made me a stronger person, and it made me care less about criticism. In the past, I wanted to please everyone, but now I'm going to listen even more to the people around me." She didn't care about criticism made at the weekend by Liz McColgan, who felt Radcliffe should have rested and let her body recover after her failure in Athens. "Liz is someone I look up to, but she hasn't spoken to me since last year, and if she really cared for me, I'm sure she would have contacted me." Instead, Radcliffe won the New York City Marathon just 11 weeks after Athens. "In New York, I wasn't in my best state, but I did know I was good enough to win the race." Radcliffe insisted her only goal in Sunday's race would be winning a third title and not chasing world records. However, Radcliffe has not ruled out in the future chasing her final world record time, and questioned sayings that marathon runners have the ability in their career to produce only 4 or 5 world-class times. "I don't think that, although I can't put a number on it," said Radcliffe. "That changes from person to person." Radcliffe is sure she can better her winning London 2003 performance at some point in the future. Following a successful 3-month training period in the United States, the 31-year-old will chase a third title on Sunday after her first victory in 2002, and again 12 months later. Radcliffe clocked a time of 2:18:56 in her first 42.2-kilometer race 3 years ago. Afterwards, she set a mixed course mark of 2:17:18 5 months later in Chicago, before lowering that to a time of 2:15:25 in the 2003 London event. Lesson 5.
The 20th century saw greater changes than any century before. Changes for the better. Changes for the worse. Changes that brought a lot of benefits to human beings. Changes that put man in danger. Many things caused the changes, but, in my opinion, the most important was the progress in science. Scientific research in physics and biology has vastly broadened our views. It has given us a deeper knowledge of the structure of matter and of the universe. It has brought us a better understanding of the nature of life and of its continuous development. Technology, the application of science, has made big advances that have benefited us in nearly every part of life. The continuation of such activities in the 21st century will result in even greater advantages to human beings. In pure science, a wider and deeper knowledge in all fields of learning. In applied science, a more reasonable sharing of material benefits, and better protection of the environment. Sadly, however, there is another side to the picture. The creativity of science has been employed in doing damage to mankind. The application of science and technology to the development and production of weapons of mass destruction has created a real danger to the continued existence of the human race on this planet. We have seen this happen in the case of nuclear weapons. Although their actual use has so far occurred only in the Second World War, the number of nuclear weapons that were produced and made ready for use was so large that if the weapons had actually been used, the result could have been the ruin of the human race, as well as of many kinds of animals. William Shakespeare said, "The web of our life is a mingled yarn, good and ill together." The above brief review of the application of only one part of human activities, science, seems to prove what Shakespeare said. But does it have to be so? Must the ill always go together with the good? Are we biologically programmed for war?
Lesson 6. If you are a recent social science graduate who has had to listen to jokes about unemployment from your computer major classmates, you may have had the last laugh. There are many advantages for the social science major because this high-tech information age demands people who are flexible and who have good communication skills. There are many social science majors in large companies who fill important positions. For example, a number of research studies found that social science majors had achieved greater managerial success than those who had technical training or pre-professional courses. Studies show that social science majors are most suited for change, which is the leading feature of the kind of high-speed, high-pressure, high-tech world we now live in. Social science majors are not only experiencing success in their long-term company jobs, but they are also finding jobs more easily. A study showed that many companies had filled a large percentage of their entry-level positions with social science graduates. The study also showed that the most sought-after quality in a person who was looking for a job was communication skills, noted as very important by 92% of the companies. Social science majors have these skills. It is probably due to these skills that they have been offered a wide variety of positions. Finally, although some social science majors may still find it more difficult than their technically trained classmates to land the first job, recent graduates report that they don't regret their choice of study.
这是一个六星级的超级文章，非常的难，反复阅读直至全面掌握。下面我们请 Jim 老师用三句法朗读第一段。As quickly as possible, paragraph one.
If you're a recent social science graduate who has had to listen to jokes about unemployment from your computer major classmates, you may have had the last laugh. There are many advantages for the social science major because this high-tech information age demands people who are flexible and have good communication skills.
Do you agree?
I agree.
下面我们再请 Jim 老师慢速读一遍 Slowly exaggerate paragraph 1 第一段
If you are a recent social science graduate who has had to listen to jokes about unemployment from your computer major classmates, you may have had the last laugh. There are many advantages for the social science major because this high-tech information age demands people who are flexible and who have good communication skills.
第三步，额外成就感。Number one,
advantage.
Sentence one.
Her working experience gave her an advantage over the other people applying for the job.
Number two.
Every person has his own advantages and disadvantages.
Number two.
A study shows that. Studies show that.
Sentence one.
Studies show that more and more people are concerned about the problem of pollution.
Sentence two.
A study shows that 40% of those killed in car accidents could have been saved if they had been wearing seatbelts.
Number 3. Due to. Sentence 1.
I was late for school yesterday due to the heavy traffic.
Sentence 2.
His great success was due to his diligence and persistence.
Fantastic!
Lesson 7.
When someone has deeply hurt you, it can be extremely difficult to let go of your anger. But forgiveness is possible. And it can be surprisingly helpful to your physical and mental health. Indeed, research has shown that people who forgive report more energy, better appetite, and better sleep patterns. People who forgive show less anger and more hopefulness, says Dr. Frederick Luskin, who wrote the book Forgive for Good. So it can help save on the wear and tear on our system and allow people to feel more energetic. So when someone has hurt you, calm yourself first. Take a couple of breaths and think of something that gives you pleasure, a beautiful scene in nature, someone you love. Don't wait for an apology. Many times, the person who hurt you may never think of apologizing, says Dr. Luskin. They may have wanted to hurt you, or they just don't see things the same way. So if you wait for people to apologize, you could be waiting a very long time. Keep in mind that forgiveness does not necessarily mean accepting the action of the person who upset you. Mentally going over your hurt gives power to the person who brought you pain. Instead, learn to look for the love, beauty, and kindness around you. Finally, try to see things from the other person's perspective. You may realize that he or she was acting out of ignorance, fear, even love. To gain perspective, you may want to write a letter to yourself from that person's point of view.
Yes, that was perfect. 太完美了.
Lesson 8. Before a new type of airplane goes into service, every part of it is tested again and again. But there are two tests that are more important than all the others. The first is called the tank test. A modern airplane must fly very high in the sky. Air must be pumped into the plane so that the passengers can breathe. The metal structure of the plane has to be very strong for this reason. When the plane is filled with air, the air presses against the skin of the plane inside. The pressure on a small window is like a huge foot that is trying to get out. If a small part of the plane were to fail, the plane would explode in the sky. To test the structure of the plane is lowered into a huge tank or container of water. Then it is filled with air. The pressure inside the plane is greater than it ever will be when it is high up in the air. Finally, there is an explosion. This does not cause so much damage inside the water tank as it would anywhere else. Engineers can discover which part of the plane has broken. Then, that part is made stronger. The most dangerous test happens when the new plane is going through test flights in the air. The test pilot must find out exactly what happens when the engines are all shut off at once. The plane begins to fall like a stone. It is the pilot's job to find out how he can get control of the plane again. These two tests are examples of how planes are made safe before they ever carry passengers. Lesson 9.
I fell in love with England because it was quaint. All those little houses, looking terribly old-fashioned but nice, like dolls' houses. I loved the countryside and the pubs, and I loved London. I've slightly changed my mind after 17 years because I think it's an ugly town now. Things have changed. For everybody, England meant gentlemen, fair play, and good manners. The fair play is going, unfortunately, and so are the gentlemanly attitudes and good manners. People shut doors heavily in your face, and politeness is disappearing. I regret that there are so few comfortable meeting places. You're forced to live indoors. In Paris, I go out much more, to restaurants and nightclubs. To meet friends here, it usually has to be in a pub, and it can be difficult to go there alone as a woman. the cafes are not terribly nice. As a woman, I feel unsafe here. I spent a bomb on taxis because I will not take public transport after 10 p.m. I used to use it, but now I'm afraid. The idea of family seems to be more or less non-existent in England. My family is well united, and that's typically French. In Middlesex, I had a neighbor who is 82 now. His family only lived 2 miles away, but I took him to France for Christmas once because he was always alone.
Very good.
Lesson 10. Shopping is not as simple as you may think. There are all sorts of tricks at play each time we reach out for that particular brand of product on the shelf. Coloring, for example, varies according to what the producers are trying to sell. Health foods are packaged in greens, yellows, or browns because we think of these as healthy colors. Ice cream packets are often blue, and expensive goods like chocolates are gold or silver. When some kind of painkiller was brought out recently, researchers found that the colors turned the customers off because they made the product look weak and ineffective. Eventually, it came on the market in a dark blue and white package. Blue because we think of it as safe, and white as calm. The size of a product can attract a shopper, but quite often a bottle doesn't contain as much as it appears to. It is believed that the better-known companies spend, on average, 70% of the total cost of the product itself on packaging. The most successful producers know that it's not enough to have a good product. The founder of Pears Soap, who for 25 years has used pretty little girls to promote their goods, came to the conclusion, any fool can make soap, but it takes a genius to sell it.
Yeah, that's good. 太好了, keep going, 继续努力.
Lesson 11.
It seems that some people go out of their way to get into trouble. That's more or less what happened the night that Nashville police officer Floyd Hyde was on duty. I was on the way to a personal injury accident in West Nashville. As I got onto Highway 40, blue lights and sirens going, I fell in behind a gold Pontiac Firebird that suddenly seemed to take off quickly down the highway. The driver somehow panicked at the sight of me. He was going more than 100 miles an hour and began passing cars on the shoulder. But Hyde couldn't go after him. Taking care of injured people is always more important than worrying about speeders. So the officer had to stay on his way to the accident. But he did try to keep the Firebird in sight as he drove, hoping another nearby unit would be able to step in and stop the speeding car. As it turned out, keeping the Firebird in sight was not that difficult. Every turn the Pontiac made was the very turn the officer needed to get to the accident scene. Hyde followed the Pontiac all the way to his destination. At that point, he found another unit had already arrived at the accident scene. His help wasn't needed. Now he was free to try to stop the driver of the Firebird, who by this time had developed something new to panic about. Just about that time, Hyde says, I saw fire coming out from under that car, with blue smoke and oil going everywhere. He'd blown his engine. Now he had to stop. After I arrested him, I asked him why he was running. He told me he didn't have a driver's license. That accident cost the driver of the Firebird plenty. $1,000 for the new engine, not to mention the charges for driving without a license, attempting to run away, and dangerous driving.
Hey man, you're making great progress. 你正在取得巨大的进步.
Don't give up.
永不放弃.
Let's go on to the next. 现在让我们学习下一个。